Well, if you would take out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, the Gospel of Luke declares the life and ministry of Jesus as the Son of God. In its pages, we get to see who Jesus was and who he is while he walked on this earth. I trust it'll be a blessing as we are again in Luke chapter 19 for just a few short minutes. On January 14th, 2008, the J.P. Morgan Chase Company launched a $70 million ad campaign that was centered on five foundational truths for its clientele. They believed these pillars of finance were vital to achieving a successful financial standing. In fact, according to Chase spokeswoman at that time, Tanya Madison, she is quoted as saying, "No matter what the business is, all these pillars matter. And they matter especially to our customers." As you can imagine, and you may remember, this new slogan was, "Chase what matters." This rather clever use of phraseology, J.P. Morgan Chase was in essence saying, use our institution to seek those things that are of utmost importance in your financial life. In other words, use Chase to chase your financial priorities. Now, this phrase to me is fascinating. It is complexity wrapped in simplicity. Chase what matters makes clear that you will seek those things that are important to you. You will spend your time, your talent, and your treasure chasing important matters to you. My question, though, tonight is what should matter to us? Again, J.P. Morgan Chase says financial things matter. And I would say this is not off base. It is wise to take care of our money and maybe leverage our money as a tool in the pursuit of our priorities. But I must ask, as Christians, what should matter to us? Well, surely if we name the name of Christ and we are disciples of him, we must mimic our Savior's priorities. But let me ask, do you know what his priorities are? Our passage tonight reveals that our Savior's heart and passion in his ministry. We need to see that because people matter to Christ, we must chase the lost with the gospel. Luke chapter 19 is the story, the narrative of a very short man. Hopefully this will be a very short sermon. We're learning about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. We need to see first off in verses 1 through 6 that because Jesus pursues sinners, we must also pursue sinners. As we chase sinners, how do we go about our business? Well, first off, I would like us to see that reputation is not and doesn't seem to matter to Christ. Who was this one that Jesus was chasing? We're going to look at these first few verses to see. Again, Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. That's a wonderful way to put it. But what do we find out about the reputation of this man that I would submit Jesus chases after? Well, he was, first off, as the scripture mentions, he's the chief among publicans. He was, in essence, a tax collector. Can I say, in that area and at that time, tax collectors were not well regarded. In fact, he probably was hated. Not only this, the Bible says that he was the chief of those publicans, and then on top of that, he was rich. It was probably ill-gotten gain. Why? Because tax collectors were a franchisee for the Roman government. At that time, the Roman government required certain taxes from certain people, and those who would collect those taxes had any right and every right to kind of basically name their own price and their own fees. And so if you have a rich tax collector, you probably knew how he got rich. It was ill-gotten gain, and he was skimming off the top. The Roman government didn't care. But all the citizens around knew exactly what was going on. This tax collector was good at his job. He was rich. And what's interesting is we don't see these things as a deterrent to Jesus. Jesus knew what kind of person Zacchaeus was, and this did not stop him from wandering into Jericho. Have you ever wondered why? Well, I believe it was because Zacchaeus was a sinner who was open to being chased by Jesus. So as we chase sinners, reputation doesn't seem to matter to Jesus. But what does matter to Jesus? We find that in verses 3 through 6. As we chase sinners, we must recognize that receptivity matters. Look at verse 3. This publican, this sinner, it's an interesting verse, verse 3. He sought to see Jesus. I don't know why. I don't know if it was curiosity. I don't know if it was what he had heard about Jesus and he just wanted to know. But we see, verse 3, that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And then later on, he could not for the press because why? He was of little of stature, so he was short. He couldn't see over the crowd. The crowd was pressing in on Jesus. And what we find, and we know the song, we know the story, verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. What we have here is a man who knew Jesus was coming. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And we see that Jesus responds to these steps of faith, or at least these steps of curiosity. Zacchaeus was curious about Jesus, even so far as placing himself in a rather embarrassing situation for a man of his reputation. Can I say, rich people didn't climb trees at this time. Seldom did rich people run. Seldom did rich people bother themselves to such a degree to try to push through a crowd. But what we see is we see Zacchaeus very interested in who Jesus was, even to the point of climbing into this tree. Again, we know the story. He was so short, he became a good climber. He climbs the sycamore tree, but in this moment, we see Jesus' reaction and heart. Jesus responds to him. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I can't help but notice, I can't help but think, it's not in the text, but imagine Jesus being pressed in, walking through Jericho, and he comes to the sycamore tree, and he notices there's a short guy up in the tree. And I can't help but think that maybe Jesus leaned over to someone and said, who's the short guy in the tree who's waiting to see me? And then Jesus goes and he engages this sinner. We see Jesus' reaction and his heart. He never shames Zacchaeus for what he did. A person who was interested in him got some time with Jesus. This is interesting in Luke chapter 19 because in the context, Luke chapter 18 kind of walks through another group of people who wanted to see Jesus. At the beginning of Luke 18, Jesus gives the parable of the persistent widow, someone who wanted justice, wanted something to take place. She was persistent. Later on in Luke chapter 18, he talks about tax collectors and Pharisees going into the temple, and how the tax collector stood in the corner and beat his chest, while the Pharisee stood out and said, "I'm so thankful I'm not like that guy." So tax collectors, what about children? In Luke chapter 18, talks about children wanting to see who Jesus was, talk to Jesus, have Jesus even pray over them. And children were welcomed. And yes, even rich rulers who came up to Jesus and engaged Jesus were never chased away. What do we need to see? Well, we need to see that Jesus is, and I'm going to borrow a term maybe I don't love, but it's true. Jesus is a safe pursuit. Showing faith seems to always unlock a positive response from Jesus. He loves them, and he offers himself to them. Beloved, we too, when we are chasing what matters, when we are chasing people, we should offer our Savior too. The lost and the dying world. So as we chase sinners, receptivity matters. Think about this. Zacchaeus When Jesus engaged him, he didn't recoil, but rather wanted more of Jesus. And Zacchaeus was obedient to Jesus' even request to enter his home. You see that in verses 5 and 6. We read verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. It's interesting, verse 5 is the one place in Scripture where Jesus actually invites himself to someone's house. He comes and he says, hey, I want to spend time with you. What does Zacchaeus do? Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Given more of a chance to know about and experience Jesus, this sinner jumped at the chance. And what Jesus does is he sees a curious heart and makes himself available. Again, in these verses, we see a fascinating back and forth between our Savior and a sinner. Jesus begins this back and forth by entering Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he takes a detour to walk through Jericho. Why would he do that? In a minute, we'll tell you why. But he enters into Jericho, and this action then is followed by Zacchaeus searching him out. Then Jesus placed Zacchaeus in a moment of decision when he says, I will come to your house. And what does Zacchaeus do? He responds again with obedience and further declaration of welcome to Jesus. What does Jesus do? He continues. And what we find in the text, actually, it's not mentioned, but we know this happened. He goes with him to his house. And so we see that because Jesus pursues sinners, we also must be active in pursuing sinners. Are you pursuing sinners now? Are you placing yourself in a position to where you can then be around sinners? Where you can be prayerfully considering, Lord, help me to see souls around me and help me to be active to chase what truly matters, chase people. So we see that Jesus pursues sinners, but why does Jesus pursue sinners? Jesus pursues sinners so that he can transform them. And what our job is to point others to Jesus so that they too can be transformed. You see that in verses 7 through 10. It's interesting. As they are on their way to Zacchaeus' house, we have a little side note, verse 7. And this is the crowd who is observing all of this. Verse 7 says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I think we need to understand from verse 7 that as we chase sinners, self-righteousness really has no place. Jesus' transformation was not politically, religiously, or socially correct. Others thought other people were more deserving to be saved. And verse 7 really gets to the heart of mankind. It's easy to condemn others, but yet it speaks of self-righteousness. The opposite is brokenness. Brokenness over our sin is a sign of the Spirit's moving. Are we self-righteous in our thoughts towards the unsaved? Do we feel it necessary to handpick who is off limits for salvation? The crowd seemed to be in this case, but Jesus cared not for their assessment. Why? Because he continued to go to Zacchaeus' home. So as we chase sinners, self-righteousness has no place. But then we wrap it up and we see as we chase sinners, fundamental transformation in Jesus is what everybody needs. Look at verse 8. It says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation is come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. What we see is that Zacchaeus is transformed, and it happens during the murmuring of the crowd between verse 6 and verse 8. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we see something that takes place in the life of this sinner. Now, I need to make clear from verse 8 that conversion is not based on works. Okay, no sinner can clean up his act. Zacchaeus' offer to restore fourfold is not a way for Jesus to think more highly of him, to gain favor with Jesus. But actually what we find is that Zacchaeus was broken and in need of Jesus' finished work. But when Jesus does come into a life, then conversion is proven by works. And what we see here is that Zacchaeus had faith in Christ at some point in this exchange. Zacchaeus' faith forced an attitude change. Think about this. No one can change a person except God. No one can transform a person from death unto life except the Lord Jesus Christ. So then what is our job as those who would come and chase the lost? Well, our job is to preach the one who transforms. Our job is to preach Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, we preach Christ. Now, it's interesting. We can do a lot of things that can help our fellow man. There are some places that will provide water for people who need water. Social and medical care is also sometimes used, help to alleviate suffering. But if we fail to point them to the one who can fundamentally change their life, we have fallen short in a biblical pursuit of souls. And what I appreciate about what Bethany mentioned is the education is a tool to then point little children and their families to Christ. All these wonderful things like water and social medical care, it must be subservient tools that help give an opportunity to point others to Jesus. Because without him and his work, we will have educated, hydrated, healthy sinners, not forgiven servants of Jesus. So as we chase sinners, fundamental transformation in Jesus must be sought. Point others to him. So we must chase what matters. And what matters to Jesus is people. To wrap this up, money, power, things, prestige. There are so many things that we can be pursuing. But can I ask you, are you chasing what matters? We've seen that people matter to Christ. He chased people. He transformed people. How do I know that? Look at verse 10, because this is what Jesus says. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Think about this for a moment. For all the pursuits that the eternal God could be about, he makes clear that his pursuit is you and me. His pursuit is people. What then should we chase? Are you pursuing your fellow man with the gospel? Or are you tempted to be concerned about their reputation? Are you attentive to the lost? Or are you distracted by other things? Do you freely give the gospel to all? Or are you caught up in your own self-righteousness, picking and choosing? Are we watching for the transformation of the gospel in others' lives? Are we pursuing that transformation and giving them the gospel, giving them Jesus? Or are we distracted by the good things we can do for sinners without giving them the best thing, which is Jesus and a relationship with him? These precious souls are everywhere. Brazil, in our own backyard. Are we being faithful to chase what matters? Are you pursuing someone with the gospel today? If not, let's get busy chasing what truly matters. Would you bow together in prayer with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you that if we sit here today and we are your children and we've had our sins forgiven, we're so thankful that you chased after us. Lord, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But it was because of Christ that he then is able to quicken us and bring us back to life. Lord, I'm so thankful for our Savior. I'm so thankful for the opportunity we have to take this gospel and to share and to point others to our Savior. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to see souls around us? Would you help us to leverage everything we have as mere tools so that others may know Jesus. Lord, would you help us to be bold? Would you help us to have wisdom? Would you help us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and his working in others around us? Would you help us to not be self-righteous? Would you help us to be faithful, just to be a witness of what our Savior has done. And Lord, would you give us fruit, fruit that remains for eternity. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.